Welcome to this week's episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Today, Jeff is going to lead us through a rather intense look at six marks of genuine salvation. So many of us were taught to pray a prayer and ask Jesus into our hearts, but does the Bible actually validate this approach as a means to be born again? If we are truly saved, there are at least six evidences that we discover in the little book of 1 John, which will be found in the lives of every true believer. Buckle up. This one is going to be strong.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. Thanks for tuning in. If you're catching us on our newly launched YouTube channel, I want to say welcome. Many of you may be brand new viewers. Maybe you've never heard of Mavericks and Misfits. We've been doing this in audio form since 2020. So we're in our fifth year of doing this, and we've been primarily doing audio. But ultimately, we're just an attempt. We're seeking to bring forth the truth of the kingdom of God in order to meet people where they are in life. You know, I don't think any of us have a greater appetite for more religion. I'm a little bit over religion. Most of those of you who are watching or listening, you're over religion too. And so Mavericks and Misfits is my attempt to bring about 30 years of Christian experience. I have led in churches for almost the entirety of my Christian life, vocationally for 27 of the 30 years I've been saved, and learned a lot, learned about what is the kingdom, what isn't the kingdom. I have learned way more than I had ever wanted to learn about man's religion. I never wanted to get a PhD in man's religion, but I've been around so much of that. And just to help people to figure out what's the difference between religion, Christianity, and the kingdom. And unfortunately, in the American context, American culture and American church culture, all that stuff overlaps. And so I want to separate the kingdom of God and true Christianity outside of things that I would deem would be just a religious spirit. And so that's what we're about at Mavericks and Misfits. We want to be biblically defined. We don't want to be denominationally defined. We don't want to be culturally defined. We don't want to be a group of people who are just mindless. I encourage my audience, whether it's here on Mavericks and Misfits, whether it's the umbrella ministry that I lead called Transforming Truth, the church that I help shepherd, which is called Antioch Outpost, or the Bible college I help lead, which is called Kineo Ministry Training Center, I always want to come back to the place where I'm teaching people, training people to say, what does God say in His Word about this? You might say, about what, Jeff? About all of it. What does God say? Because ultimately, who cares what Jeff says? Can I be bold? Who cares what you say? Who cares what everybody else says if it's not in agreement with what God says? And so when you can distill truth down to the foundational layer is what has the Lord said, and when you get those answers, and when you're able to appropriate those answers into your own life, when you can start living out what God says, then you're really coming into all that God has provided for you. When you do that, and this is why I call this podcast Mavericks and Misfits, you're going to be a maverick, because mavericks ask questions. In churches, nobody's allowed to ask questions. That's the spirit of religion, where you can't question anything. There's a difference between asking a sincere question versus being an accuser. People sometimes ask questions in an accusatory tone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you are actually allowed to be inquisitive, to ask questions. And when you do that, you're going to be a maverick. And when you recognize that you're living your life asking questions, you want to know what God says, you're going to become a misfit. You're not going to fit in everywhere. Matter of fact, most places you won't fit in. You won't fit in a denomination, because no one denomination has a corner of the market of truth. Most denominations have blind spots. And so you're going to find yourself at times as a misfit. So thinking through all of that, it gives you a little background about why we do what we do. Of course, those of you that are part of our subscribing audio audience, you've heard me say that 100 different ways over the last 4 or 5 years. But for those of you that are tuning in, I wanted to give you a little bit of background. Why do we call it Mavericks and Misfits? Why does the sign behind me say Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lau? That's because we believe that we're to live our life by the truth of God and with the God of truth. And when you do that, you're not going to fit in, hashtag Maverick. And when you don't fit in, you're going to be obviously a misfit. Okay. So with those things in mind, that's the approach that we take. A lot of times on the podcast, I'm doing a mini devotional, a Bible study. It's almost never superficial. I don't like the shallow end of the pool. I always want to compel those of you that are part of Mavericks and Misfits to think. I always want you to be getting into the Word of God yourself. I invite you, if you have questions, to email me at info@maverickmisfit.com. And I'll sometimes take your things and put them on the air. I will sometimes answer your questions. And so anyway, when we think about all of these kind of things, today we're just going to do a little bit of a deep dive. And I had lunch with a 22-year-old guy just yesterday. And when we met together, and I'm getting to know him. When we know each other, we run in some of the same circles. And I'm not his pastor or anything, but we run in some of the same circles. And what I'm learning is this brother has a ton of great questions. He's a deep thinker. And he's willing to have answers and have dialogue with people that don't agree with him. So he's asked me some great questions. We started talking about this issue of what's called in the theological world soteriology, which is basically the doctrine of salvation. It's a big word, soteriology, but it's really just what does the Bible say? What are the biblical truths about salvation? And, you know, I'm recording this video and audio in the Bible Belt, Metro Atlanta, North Georgia, in the city of Dawsonville. That's where I live and do some of my ministry. And the church that I lead's pretty much in the same culture, a little bit to the east, about an hour away. But, you know, we're Bible Belt people. And so in the Bible Belt, if you live in a different part of the world or if you live in a different nation, the Bible Belt, the southeastern part of the United States, culturally was dominated by Christianized religion really going back into the pre-Civil War times and back into the colonial days. And there was a lot of gospel down here. And then it became enculturated. And so it lost its kingdom distinction over decades. And then it just became part of the culture. So when I use the word Bible Belt, it's not a thing that I'm saying with a whole lot of honor. Maybe it used to be honorable. It's not anymore. And when I say Bible Belt, I'm just like, oh, here we go. Everybody's saved in the Bible Belt because we all were taught culturally to go to church. Well, listen, the buckle of the Bible Belt's been long since tarnished. And the Bible Belt, just because you're in the South anymore, doesn't mean you're a Christian, doesn't mean that you even believe in God. And so the cultural part's being taken away. And now we've got legit people seeking God that aren't going to take these little cultural Bible Belt, nice churchy answers, which I think is great, by the way. It means we're actually going to get down to truth. And so this issue, as this brother and I were talking yesterday, we started talking about what does it really mean to be saved? How does one come into salvation? And how do we know if we are truly saved? And we talked on things like eternal security. Can you lose your salvation? And I've done many podcast episodes on that. If you go to maverickmisfit.com, scroll down, you're going to find me doing 5 or 6 episodes on this issue of can a person lose their salvation? Can a true Christian forfeit the gift of eternal life? And I don't have time to talk about it today, but it's a rich study. And so when we were having this discussion, I just became really grateful for a 22-year-old guy who's just saying, tell me more about the truth. Let me ask questions and I'll consider your answers, Jeff. Love that. Absolutely love that. So today, let me bring you a podcast episode called 6 Marks of True Salvation. I'm going to be bold with this. If you don't have these 6 marks in some level in your life, you may do well to ask the Lord, have I truly been saved? I need to stick in front of this mic. I keep forgetting I'm doing video now, so I'm over here looking at this camera and this camera. So forgive me if the audio goes in and out a little bit. But have I truly, truly been saved? Can I know for a fact that I'm saved? And so the book of 1 John is my go-to book for questions like this, because the whole book of 1 John is written so that we may know that we have eternal life. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. John wrote that. And so let me give you these 6 things, okay? And this is not to scare truly saved people into wondering if they're saved or doubting their salvation. But I don't ever want to scare anybody about their salvation. But I'm going to tell you something. We do very well to regularly consider our salvation. I've said with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. But if I had no ability to say that with my mouth, does my life speak that truth? Does how I live give testimony to the reality that I'm born again? That's really the best way to tell if somebody's saved. And I'm not investigating you. I'm talking about me investigating me. You don't need to be thinking about everybody in your life. This episode is to get you wondering and examining, according to the scriptures, have I truly been saved? So let's take a look at it, okay? Let's look at some of this. The first thing is very objective. It's very clear. You have to believe the truth and you have to live the truth. So in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 5, this is what he says. He says, this is the message that we have heard from him, from God, and we proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now watch verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth, he says. But if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, we have some objective criteria right there that we can line up against our life. So this is to people that say, I have salvation. I am saved. I am a Christian. I have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. And John says, but are you walking in light or darkness? And when it talks about walking, it's literally talking about the pattern of your living. I'll be very careful to say that there is no such thing as a sinless Christian, that we all commit sin from time to time. And if you don't believe that, you're just ignorant of the holiness of God. I don't mean to be insulting, but if you think you never sin, you've never understood the holiness of God. In order to say I never sin as a Christian, that means every thought I have rises to God's perfect standard of holiness. Every thought, every day. Every word I say rises to the standard of God's perfect holiness all day long. And every deed I do rises to the standard of God's perfect holiness. And if I can say that in all honesty, that every thought, every word, every deed all day long rose to the perfect level of God's standard of holiness, then I guess I've not sinned. But if we're being realistic, nobody's going to be willing to raise their hand and say, yep, Jeff, that's me. So every Christian will commit sin on some level, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about your walk. We're talking about your pattern of living. We're talking about the normal bend of your life. That is what we're discussing and what John's talking about here. And the two options are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? And John says, if you say you belong to Jesus, but you walk in darkness, if that is the normal pattern of your living, that you're normally walking in darkness, John says you're lying. You don't know him. You do not have the truth of Jesus Christ in your heart. I like John because he's bold in 1 John. So, second part, believing, not only believing truth, but living the truth. That's the walking in the light versus walking in darkness. Here's the second mark of genuine or true salvation, okay? It's valuing and pursuing obedience. It's connected to what I just said, but this is proactive. This means you actually value obeying the Lord. You actually practice obeying the Lord. And so this is what John says in chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. John says this, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he, Jesus, walked. Okay, that's very crystal clear there. John is saying that obedience is a mark of true, genuine salvation. And again, I mean, it's very intense. He says, if you say, I know him, but you do not keep, and forgive the technicality, but that verb there translated to keep his commandments into the English language, the verb keep means a continual pattern of keeping. It means that the normal pattern of your life is that you're walking in obedience to God. And if the normal pattern of your life is that you're walking in disobedience, and that's connected to walking in darkness, John's words there, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are very clear. He says, you're lying, and you do not know him. The truth is not in you. But on the positive side, he says, whoever keeps his word in him, truly The love of God is perfected, and by this we can know, we can know, we can know. I love that. You can know that you're saved, and one of the ways that you know you're saved is to have this mark of the normal pattern of your life being obedience. You want to obey God. People that aren't believers don't care about obeying God. They don't care. They're not convicted of their disobedience. They don't feel bad when they disobey God. There's no need or desire to change. And there's a lot of people that name themselves Christians who live in constant disobedience to God. They're never convicted. They don't feel anything. They don't want to get caught, but they don't feel guilty about it. They don't feel like they need to repent. John says very clearly that person's not saved. So again, here we go. We're thinking about this. How many people in our churches sing the songs, come to church, outwardly in front of people obey, but inwardly, they're just waiting to get in their hidden secret place, and they can do all the stuff they want to do online, or they can do it with people, or they can have this double life where they're in the clubs on Friday and Saturday, and they're, you know, singing God's praises on Sunday. Come on, let's just be honest. That's not a person that's ever experienced the transformational born-again experience. And so we've got to think on these things. So here's the third one. This one is harder for a lot of people. Think about this. Whoever says that he is in the light, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Whoever says he is in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there's no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. Hello. I mean, I don't know how we get away from that. The Bible is very clear that one of the marks of genuine salvation is you're going to love people, especially love your brother. That indicates love within the body of Christ. And so if you're walking around and you're a hateful person, and especially, look, this is scary. Those of you that are bitter against Christians, those of you that are bitter against the church, those of you that live with bitterness, God says it's not just that you've been victimized and you have a bad attitude and you struggle a little bit, but if you are nursing your bitterness, you're refusing to repent, that you do not love Christians and you do not love other people, the Bible says, oh, it's because you walk in darkness. It's because you don't have the love of Jesus in your life. It's because you're a conditional lover, that you love people when they're good to you. You love people when they're nice to you. You love people when they love you back. And friends, let me just tell you, even the pagans do that. You don't need Jesus to love those that love you. Godless people can do that. But the distinction on the Christian's life is that you have a love for the brothers, the sisters, the family of God. And yes, we are incomplete, imperfect people, and we sometimes cut each other with our moments of sin. But how you respond to that indicates and reveals whether you're a true believer. Why? Because you have been forgiven every sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and all your sins and my sins are ultimately against him. And if he has forgiven us everything through the sacrifice that he made on the cross, and if he lives inside of us, then we have the forgiver living inside of us. We have the lover living inside of us. And a person that says, Jesus Christ lives in me in the person of the Holy Spirit, but I don't love people. I don't want to be around God's people. I can't stand the church. I don't like those Christians. Friends, you're deceived. I'm not saying you. I don't know who's watching and who's listening. But what I'm saying, the person that thinks like that is deceived. You cannot be a Christian and have hatred in your heart towards people as a normal part of your life. I'll go so far to say, if you hate certain demographics, if you hate white people, you're not saved. If you hate black people, you're not saved. If you hate Asians or Hispanics, or if you hate Republicans or Democrats, if you hate women or you hate men, you're not saved. Hatred is inconsistent and incompatible with the life of somebody that has experienced the second birth. That's why John says, if you say you know God, but you hate your brother, you lie and you walk in darkness. Third and fourth one now. Let's go to the fourth one. Embracing and maturing in sanctification is a mark of genuine salvation. Again, all of these are important. So this is the fourth one here. This is 1 John 2. Do not love the world. Verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Okay, very simply put here, I'm not even going to spend a long time on this. If you are in love with the world, if you love the values of the world, If you love the forbidden things of the world, if you love the things in the world that God hates, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. And that's just another biblical way of saying you've never met him, you do not know him, you are not saved. And it classifies this love of the world as the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If your life is all about you, if your life is all about pleasure, if your life is all about what you can get out of life, even at the expense of other people, you're worldly. Worldly is not about a hairstyle. Worldly is not about attire, fashion. Worldly is not about the kind of car you drive. No, worldly is that you love the world. You want the values of the world. You're chasing the values of the world. And most of the values of the world can fall into just a few categories: money, power, sex or pleasure, and fame. That's the values of the world. I want to be famous. I want to have a lot of sex. I need a ton of pleasure. I want to be well known, and I want a lot of money. I want a lot of power. If you're living for those things, you've not met the Father, because those are actually categories of things that Jesus died for. We got a lot of people that say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I asked Jesus into my heart back in the day. I got water baptized. I go to church every now and then. I don't hate God. But my real life's about money. My real life's about pleasure. My real life's about sex. My real life is about fame and gathering a following and beauty and all of this. And I'm just saying those things, according to the scripture, those things are indicative of a person that's never been born again. So you actually come out of the world, you renounce those things, you reject those things. It doesn't mean that having money or being beautiful or having a following or power is bad in and of itself. It's the desire to live for those things that is evidence that a person has never been born again. And so that connects us again. We're going back to 1 John chapter 3. What about cultivating a lifestyle of holiness? This is the fifth one, okay? Cultivating a lifestyle of holiness. Listen to this. No one who abides in him, in Christ, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Jesus or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. I like that because he's saying, don't be deceived about this. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9, 1 John 3, 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So here we have some summary statements. This touches on several things that I've already spoken of. When we're talking about a mark of true salvation, it means you're cultivating a lifestyle of holiness. You hate your sin. If you're saved, you cannot help but to hate your sin. One of the things that happens when you get saved, it's not that you don't sin anymore, it's that you hate it. You can't enjoy it like you used to. I didn't get saved till I was 24. So from age 14 to age 24, I lived for my sin, and I liked it. And the Bible even says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But when I got saved, I found that even things that I used to not consider sin, now if I said something, thought something, or did something, now I'm like, I can't believe I thought that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I did that. Why? Because we hate sin because we got the one who died for sin living inside of us. So the Bible is very clear here. The person who is in habitual sin is not saved. It's a message that we just need to get back to. We have redefined sin. We have made sin something other than what it actually is. And so the Bible says, don't redefine sin, don't rename sin, repent of sin. Slay sin, crucify sin, hate sin. And if your life is one that continues to be imprisoned to sin, it's because you have not been saved. Because the person, this is what it says, it's mind-blowing that we don't believe this, much less preach it. The person who's been born again, 1 John chapter number 3, verse number, verse number 9, 1 John 3, 9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning. The Bible says that the born-again person cannot live in unbroken patterns of continual habitual sin. Why? Because you have God's nature living in you. God's seed is in you. So when we're talking about this, we put it in the positive, like the people that are truly born again, although they are not sin-free, they hate their sin, and they are cultivating a lifestyle of holiness. They're intentionally pursuing holiness. They intentionally slay the desires and the longings of their flesh. They don't feed their flesh. They don't make provision for their flesh. They don't have casual attitudes about sin. That's a mark of genuine salvation. Last thing, because I'm running out of time. Sixth thing, living out a testimony of victory in warfare. A mark of genuine salvation is that you will be living in an ongoing testimony of winning in warfare. Where do I find that? Because nobody talks about that. 1 John 5:4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. I love that statement. Everyone who's been born of God is an overcomer. We are winning. We undergo. We get attacked. We go through warfare. Life pounces. The devil hates us. Bad things happen. Even when we're walking in obedience and live for the Lord, warfare is all over and against people that are intentionally living for the Lord. Some of you that are watching and listening, you're in the season of warfare, and the enemy's telling you it's because God hates you, God's mad at you, you've sinned, you're out of fellowship with God. It may very well be, if you can do some objective analysis of your own life, and you're like, I don't have sin in my life. I'm not making place to accommodate sin in my life. The devil's a liar. And you can realize, no, actually, I'm in warfare because of the exact opposite. It's not because I'm walking in sin. It's because I'm intentionally walking in righteousness. And this is great news, man. One of the marks of true salvation is that you win in warfare. Winning in warfare, like to win in warfare, you actually have to undergo warfare. You actually have to go through attacks. You have to go through attacks of the enemy, attacks of people, attacks of life, trials, troubles, tribulations, all of that. But you win. Why? Because this is the victory that the Christian gets to experience. We are overcomers. So in review, as I close out this episode of Mavericks and Misfits, do you believe and live in truth? Do you value and pursue obedience? Do you commit to growing in love with other people? Do you embrace and are you maturing in sanctification? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you cultivating a lifestyle of holiness on purpose, not accidentally? Are you killing sin before it kills you? And then finally, are you winning? Are you overcoming? I didn't ask you if you're immune from warfare. That's not victory. You can't have victory unless something's opposing you. So the warfare is actually an indicator that you're living for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And if you're walking in righteousness and you're walking in obedience and you're walking in holiness and you're walking in faith, you're going to be winning your battles. And some of you are coming into a season where God's about to give you breakthrough. I hope you'll continue doing it. Hey, listen, my time's gone. I want to say I appreciate you tuning in today to the Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you want to find out more information, I'm going to encourage you to go to our umbrella site, transformingtruth.org. There, I've got all sorts of teaching materials. I write a blog there. My social media links are there. Follow me on Facebook. Just look me up on Facebook. You'll find me there. And you can follow Transforming Truth, also a separate page on Facebook. And if you're listening to this, I want to encourage you, go ahead and like and subscribe to our YouTube page for Mavericks and Misfits. Just look for Mavericks and Misfits podcast on YouTube. Go ahead and subscribe, like our page there. And listen, any way that I can feed you in the truth of God's word, I'm going to continue to do that. And it's my honor that you would tune in and watch or tune in and listen. And we'll see you next time. God bless you.
If you have followed Jeff Lyle for any length of time, you will know that his heart is never to frighten genuinely saved people into believing that they may be lost. At the same time, Jeff lives with a deep concern that the casualness with which many call themselves believers, having no outward evidence of an inward conversion, is a worthy motivator to have us all take a look at our own lives. Salvation is a surrender, and that surrender changes everything. We will talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits.